You're listening to Speak Loud, resilient stories of triumph and hope, helping you to turn your past into fuel for your best future. Here's your host, founder of the 501c3 Share, providing resource and support for trauma victims, and a survivor herself, Tiffany Barnes.
Hello, and welcome to the Speak Loud podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tiffany Barnes, and thank you for joining me here today. I've got a lovely guest in store for you today, Becca Ferguson, and she comes from a land far and wide, Arkansas. I've never had
literally,
a guest.
literally far and wide and flat. Well, yes. I mean, depends where you're at, but you know, yeah.
Far and wide and flat. I like that. And yeah, Arkansas, my first guest, I would say, from Arkansas. So that's pretty cool. And you are a licensed professional counselor.
That's me.
Who specializes in trauma recovery and online course creator. And of course, you're a real life human being here today. Thank you for that. And Becca, you bring your love for storytelling and teaching to every environment that you're in. When people ask you for advice, it's coming from years of experience personally and professionally. Becca's main goal is for people to know that they aren't alone. And in her spare time, Becca drowns out the intrusive thoughts with trash TV, playing with her cats, and hanging out with her incredible husband. Sounds like we're birds of a feather, my dear. Without further ado, please welcome the lovely, the amazing Becca Ferguson.
Crowd goes wild. Well, that's the first time a crowd has ever gone wild for me. I really appreciate that so much. Usually the crowd is like, chirp, woohoo.
Well, I am so thrilled to have you on. I want to get into your journey, your story, and of course, your expertise and what you can offer up for the listener today. However, I want to ask you the burning question I ask every single guest that's been on the show. What are you here to speak loud about?
You know, I was listening to your podcast and I heard you ask this question to so many people and I loved their responses. And then I'm over here like, Becca, what are you going to speak about? Because you have so many things in your life that have happened to you. So I'm like, pick a decade. Which one do you want? But if anything, I think I'm here to speak loud for the people that don't know what they need or are afraid to ask themselves what they need.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, so let's get into that. As far as finding what you need, I know your expertise come with being a counselor professionally, but personally, you have some life experience of overcoming trauma in your own world.
Yes.
So take us down that path a little bit of that journey. Obviously, we want to be a little more surface level. We don't want to trigger anybody, but I definitely want you to share some of your story so that the audience knows, like, hey, you've been through it. You're not just this counselor that's saying, hey, let's get through trauma. You yourself have been through it. So
yeah, let's dive for sure.
A little bit.
I'm here for it. Buckle in, y'all. So basically, you know, when it comes to my story, my journey, there's so many places where I could just go. And I appreciate you doing surface level stuff because, you know, stories are tough. I think that when you have experienced a trauma, one of the things that you struggle with the most is how much do I tell? And that's something that I teach my clients. I'm like, now that you have gotten comfortable with your story and you know, like, this has helped you grow, understand that other people need like a movie rating for your story. You can't just be like, guess what happened to me when I was 10? And people be like, whoa, that was intense. I'm totally over it, you know? So, you know, my journey and one of the reasons why I became a therapist, this actually was not ever in the plan. Becoming a therapist was never in the plan for me. I was raised in a very conservative Christian home with, you know, the perfect quote unquote family, you know, mom, dad, sister. We had a cat for like 2 years before we found out my sister was like deathly allergic.
Oops.
So like, oh man, hospital or cat. I'm like, send her to the hospital. But you know, I have three cats now. That tells you about my relationship with her. But you know, I definitely had that perfect brick house, you know, suburb type kind of living. Mom and dad both owned their own business. Everything was great. But if you dig underneath it, then you start to understand like the dynamics of what it was like living in that environment, right? And how you can truly be influenced by someone else's beliefs and someone else's values and then just believe it. Like, that's truth, right? And so that's kind of how it was being raised in my house, is like, we didn't really have an opportunity to create our own autonomy. It was what mom and dad believed and what the church believed. And don't question it, because when you question it, then, you know, obviously you're not going to go to heaven and all that kind of fun stuff. So those were the difficulties of me growing up. And it wasn't until I became a therapist, and I'm not even gonna lie. I specialize in trauma. This is what I help young women with. And it wasn't until last year that I go and see my therapist, and my therapist tells me I have PTSD. And I was the most surprised person in the whole entire room. And I was like, WTF? No, I don't. And she was like, okay, so you were abused growing up in your church, you had over-controlling parents, you had no autonomy, but don't worry, all the like yelling whenever your husband says something that shocks you, or you overthinking all these, like, that's not PTSD, don't worry, that's not PTSD.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my story just comes with accepting that diagnosis, and then trying to figure out how to grow and move through this new place in my life. So, when it comes to my journey, I am a very real, vulnerable human being. A lot of therapists don't really believe in the power of self-disclosure. For a really long time, we weren't supposed to do that. You are a vessel. Like, you are here to absorb everything that your client is saying and spew back information. And for me, when you come into my therapy room, I'm using examples. I'm like trying to explain intrusive thoughts. I'm trying to explain what it's like to have healthy relationships, what it's like to have abusive relationships, what it's like to look for in certain organizations and entities and whatnot, so you know what abuse looks like. So that way people understand that it's like, oh, Becca's gone through it. She knows what she's talking about. But at the same time, it's like there's this real solid thing that makes it real, and it doesn't make me feel crazy for thinking that I have trauma. And so, that's kind of a little over the place, but I can dive into whatever part of my story you want me to. And you just tell me what decade, what age do you want, and I'll tell you a story and we'll go from there.
Well, I want to say a couple things based off of what you've just told us. The first is, I think I really identify with the suppression from the religion standpoint, because I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm not here to bash other religions, but there's a heavy culture of LDS people here.
Yeah.
And this is something that is very common that I hear with a lot of like in studio guests, because the religion is so, you know, down your throat, and parents can be very controlling as well. And then people rebel, and then they turn to, you know, oh, I can't have even coffee or tea. Well, now I'm going to go do all the hard drugs and I'm going to become an alcoholic, you know, and there's
100%.
I don't know if you know this, but Utah is the number one state in the United States for sexual abuse as well. So it's very rampant within the church culture here. So when you're talking about this, I kind of relate it to this environment that I'm living in. So I can identify with what you're talking about there. And I think a lot of listeners that are here locally will understand what I'm saying as well. But I also really love your approach with being a counselor. I have been to, I can't even count how many counselors for talk therapy over the years. And the fact that you bring in examples and that relatability where you're vulnerable to share, like, hey, well, this is kind of what I've been through, so that they can kind of take a golden nugget from it, if you will, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I love that approach. Because I feel a lot of times when I personally have been through talk therapy, it's just, I mean, there's obviously it's hit or miss. I'm not here to bash any one form or another. But if I would have had a counselor do that for me, I think it would have been a game changer. So I think that's a great approach.
I appreciate that. I am very lucky at this phase in my life right now because, you know, as you said in my bio, I have an incredible husband. I really do. He saved me in more ways than one. And I probably embarrass him more than he ever knows behind the HIPAA doors of my office. Cause I'm like, you know, clients will come and talk to me and they'll be like, I have something to talk to you about sex. And I'm like, let me tell you about this one time. And then I'm like, oh my God, if my husband knew that, like what I was sharing about all of these things and telling them, oh yeah, it's completely normal to do this during sex, then my husband would be like, oh God, oh God. But you know, I really love relating to my clients that way because I feel like when I was growing up, you know, my parents didn't believe in mental health. And when I say that, I love both of my parents. I have decent relationships with them now and talk to them pretty often and still, you know, let them in on parts of my life. My mother is, you know, they're both in that bootstrap generation. And that's kind of how I was raised, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, get over it, depend on yourself, depend on no one else type kind of mindset. And so, my mom is actually like actively trying right now to understand mental health, but she's an accountant. So she is very like, if it doesn't go on a spreadsheet, it doesn't make sense. And mental health doesn't make sense half the time because you have to evolve with every single client that you have. At no point in time am I sharing the same exact advice to every single person that comes in my room. I'm not just like, here's CBT protocol, blah, 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 blah. I'm over here like, okay, this one chick needs this and that chick needs this. Now, how do I combine all of the things and the examples and tell the story and do this and, you know, go through XYZ, you know? So I'm constantly evolving with my clients and I always use we language. And so like when a client comes in and they're like, I can't do this. I'm like, but we can, you know, it's never at a time am I like telling them you've got to get through this because I don't think I had that when I was a kid. I never had anyone that was wanting to partner up with me and help me get through stuff. And so the clients that I'm working with are young adult females that are basically a reflection of me. Every single time my client says something, I'm like, oh my God, why am I in my own therapy session right now? and so it's like, and I tell them that, and they're just like, I think they secretly love that they're just like me because I love helping them work through their problems. So I'm working with a lot of female helpers that truly were not given a choice to be able to heal from their trauma when they were younger. And I think that's something that is a big part of my story is I was not given a choice to even step away from the trauma that I endured when I was younger. So a big part of my story and something that I've just started opening up, talking about, because as you know, from listening to a whole bunch of people and talking about trauma and having your own trauma, what does trauma come with? Shame and guilt, which is really messed up, by the way, because if you think about it, like when someone punches you in the face, okay, do you go, oh man, like I'm such a horrible person for getting punched in the face? No, you get pissed off at the person that punched you in the face, right? But then when like a trauma happens to you, you're like, man, this person abused me my whole entire life. Like it's all my fault. And you're like, no, this isn't your fault, you know? And so a big part of my story is from like 12 until my early 20s, I was abused by my youth minister. And he was very emotionally abusive, manipulating, gaslighting, the whole nine yards. And I think that although my parents knew surface level of what was going on, they didn't know the deeper stuff. And they didn't know it until after I graduated college. I didn't share any of it with them because I didn't know it was wrong. Like, I didn't know that a grown man wasn't supposed to slap you across the face when you did something wrong. I thought that that was something that was normal. I didn't know that that wasn't love and affection until I started dating my husband. And then I was like, it's okay, you can hit me for this. And he was like, what?
Oh, wow.
And he was like, no, we don't do that here. And so I laugh about it now, but obviously it was an experience. And so having that as a part of my story and getting people to understand, like, yeah, there's people that have great experiences inside of religious organizations and they never have any problems. And good for you. If that's where you find your safe space, kudos, you do you. But there's a whole group of people out there that most likely are in the millennial generation that were like raised in these religious organizations because their parents said, oh, I have kids, now I have to go back to church. And now I have to raise them right and make them sit in a pew and listen to an organ. And that's how it has to happen, right? And when they sat there and they listened, they were taught exactly how not to live their life. And then they have the guilt and shame. My mother calls it the Catholic guilt. and which I think that's what she called anxiety. I think she was like widely misunderstood what anxiety was and just called it Catholic guilt all the way growing up. But yeah, so I think there was a lot of misinterpretation on what was happening to me because A, we were trusting the church, and B, I had no idea that what I was experiencing was abuse until I met my husband in my mid-20s, and he, you know, helped me leave the church. So it's a big part of that story and figuring out what you need.
I think something I want to really bring up or touch on what you just said was the fact that you said the word normal. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't know it was normal. And this is something I hear a lot with guests that come on the show. And I can look back at my own life, you know, if until you are basically shown otherwise, you don't realize that not everybody else is being slapped or molested or, you know, talked down to or gaslit or all the things that, you know, encompass right. trauma. And so in your professional opinion, how does one come to the realization that, hey, this is wrong, other than somebody coming into their life like your husband to show you different? Like, how would one find that or come to that realization? Or, you know, do you have any insight on that?
Yeah. Two words, guilt and shame. That's how we know. Yeah. I tell this story and I think this helps kind of explain it. But I want you to imagine that you have had the same job your whole entire life working at this like mom and pop shop in a really, really small town of like 500 people. Okay. This is like small town Arkansas, obviously, and what I'm explaining. You got Main Street, and every single day at noon, you get on your bike and you ride down from the shop to the bank. And you park your bike in the little bike rack, you go inside, you deposit the money, you come out, you get back on your bike, and you go back to work, right? Now, one day as you're leaving the bank, you see that bike is gone. It has been stolen. Now, what do you think is the very first thing that's going to run through your mind as soon as you see that your bike is stolen?
Wondering who stole it, maybe?
Yeah, wondering who stole it, but even... it could be, man, I should have really locked up my bike.
Well, that
right?
too, yeah. that
yeah, too. right. Now, here is where the fun part comes in. You have been doing this every day for 20 years, and you have never, ever locked up your bike. What evidence has there been that has been provided that you should have locked up your bike? And why are you getting upset at yourself for it?
Right. There is none, because right? you've done it for 20 years, and it's had the same result.
Right. But here's where learning and experience and building off of our guilt and shame comes from, is understanding Now we got to lock up the bike. Okay. I'm still going to do this. You have two choices. Either I'm now going to purchase a vehicle to drive one block down to go and, you know, to the bank and have a car and, you know, security system and all the fun things, or I'm just going to go get a bike lock and lock it up because now I understand that I can't trust people on this particular bike rack. Right. Does that mean that it was your fault in the first place for a bike getting stolen? No. Does it mean it was your fault for not getting a bike lock in the first place? No. What it means is like things in the world and people and our environment is constantly evolving. Right. And so this idea of like, oh, I didn't know better, or I should have known this. I think that was part of my story growing up and what I try and tell my parents now, because my parents, understanding the abuse that I went through when I was younger, my mom constantly would say things like, I'm scared for you to tell this story because people are going to think I'm a bad mom because of all the things that you went through and I never pulled you out. And I tell her, I'm like, I didn't tell you what was going on. I had no clue that it was wrong in the first place. Now, as an adult, I understand that it's wrong. Now, you, in your moment, understand that what happened to me was wrong. You're probably never going to make this mistake ever again. You're probably never going to make choices for your grandkids or for anybody like this ever again, right? So now that we know differently, what do we do about it? And how do we change the things in our life and understand how to trust people differently and build those relationships differently and go from there? So for me, I became a therapist because I knew that's where I can make the biggest difference. But for other people, you know, it's a different story.
It sounds like being a therapist for you is a bit of a inner healing as well. With the people you're helping, somehow you're filling your own cup and you know, helping those wounds that were once there.
I can't even begin to describe to you. I have a couple clients that are literally a younger reflection of me. And I just want to like hold them and be like, never, ever feel pain ever in your whole life. Come to Becca. Never feel this. And then I'm like, I have to like go home and really say, Becca, they're gonna feel really shitty for the next couple years. And it's going to hurt like hell for them to get through this. But the one thing that they have that you didn't have growing up is you, you know? And I have to constantly remind myself when I'm having the bad day, when I'm going through my own PTSD triggers and when I'm struggling, like I'm the person for someone else. And hopefully one day for them, they can think the same thing and they can be like, I can be the person for someone else too. And so I really feel like all I'm doing in therapy is making more therapists. Like, I really feel like that's all I'm doing. I'm just like convincing everyone to become a therapist that comes into my office. I'm like, you can do it. Come to the dark side. But yeah, so it's a healing experience for me too. A lot of the times when I'm in sessions with clients, they think I'm taking notes, but really I'm just writing down shit that I say that I'm like, wow, that was really smart. You should listen to yourself, you know, and go from there. Yeah.
So with these PTSD triggers that come up in your life, and I'm 40 years old and I still have things that are coming up in my own, because come on, kids, we all know this is not rainbows and roses. We are always a work in progress. There's not this flip of a switch and everything's all gone and never going to come up again. So what do you do personally for modalities to help you when those triggers pop up?
Yeah. So my husband and I created this thing called my trauma brain and my sober brain. Okay. I'll tell you a story. Buckle in. One night I'm getting ready for bed and it was like one of those nights where I was like, man, I just can't wait to cuddle into a clean bed. But, you know, homegirl didn't wash her sheets. So, you know, it's not clean. And so I got this essential oil mist thing and I like sprayed it on my side of the bed. And I was like, ah, yes, frankincense and myrrh. And I'm like pulling the covers back and my husband walks into the bedroom and he was like, oh, my God, babe, what is that smell? And I literally lost my shit. lost it. I mean, like, it fell out of my ass onto the floor and was like walked away. Okay. And he and I'm just like, what? I sprayed an essential oil mist. It's going to help me go to sleep. I'm going to sleep really good tonight. I'm not going to have nightmares. Do you not understand? What do you want me to do? You want me to fan it? Do you want me to go turn the fan on? Do you want me to turn the ceiling fan on higher? Do you want me to open the window? Do you want me to just change the sheets? Do you want me to go wash them right now? Is it really bothering you? And I'm just like going off at the mouth. And he's just like, dude, calm down. And so I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, how do you want me to react to this? You don't like this smell. And he was like, I didn't say I didn't like it. I didn't say it was bothering me. All I said was, wow, that smell is really strong.
Yeah.
Statement. And I'm like, okay. All right. Thanks. That's cool. And he was like, what was your trauma brain telling you that I was saying? And I was like, so many curse words are running through my head at this point, you know, and I'm just like, it was telling me that you were really mad at me and you were going to kick me out and make me sleep on the couch and change all the sheets and wash everything. And I was ruining your whole night and you weren't going to get a good night's sleep because I sprayed this spray on it and I was going to ruin everything. And you're going to have a bad day tomorrow because you didn't get any rest. And he was like, mm-hmm. Okay, what's your sober brain telling you? And I was like, that you're not mad at me and you love me and you married me because I'm pretty. And he's like, that's right. And I was like, oh, yay, you still think I'm pretty. But, you know, so my husband and I came up with that because when I get triggered, it's usually because I hear something that he is saying incorrectly. Right. And I'm afraid of what the reaction is going to be, and I'm afraid of how he's going to treat me, understanding that he's never treated me the way that I have been treated in the past with my abuse, but it could happen today, obviously. And so we came up with my trauma brain and my sober brain, and he just asked me like, hey, what is trauma brain saying? What is sober brain saying? And that sober brain is the one that's like taking all emotions out of it and just like blank. What's the statement that was just said? And what does that mean? Well, the trauma brain is over here overanalyzing every single thing. So when I separate those two things, I'm able to understand like, hey, I was just triggered. But I am safe. I'm not in danger. So those are one of the things that I really, you know, we worked on to kind of help move things around in my head. So I wasn't completely triggered 24/7 by everything. Right. And I could move through it.
I love that. I'm going to start doing that with myself, actually, because I get that way. Like for me, yeah. When you say smells, as soon as you said smells, so I wrote a book, it came out earlier this year, and in the book I talk about how kids would tease me and say, one whiff a tiff and you'll jump off a cliff. Because my parents didn't bathe me a lot when I was a kid, and I just was kind of an unkempt kid. And, you know, you get bullied for all kinds of things. Well, there's a great thing to bully somebody for. So right. Now I'm all about like, does your breath stink? Do you have perfume? You know what I mean? So like if somebody were to say that to me walking into a room, you know, I'm not trying to make this about me, but like relating with the example thing is I could see how I would take that wrong. I would be like, yeah, wait, what? What do you mean? Is it stink? Yeah. You know, as soon as somebody's like, what is that smell? I'd be like, oh my God, is it stinky in here? You know, right. Like I live in a 103-year-old house. So there's smells in a 103-year-old house, you know? Mm-hmm. So when somebody comes over and I burn a candle or something, I'm like, what's that smell? And they're trying to say like, they love the smell of the candle. I'm like, oh, does it smell musky? Like, can you smell my dogs and my cat? Like, you know, so it's funny how our brain does that, right? It's really interesting how our brain reverts back to that tape playing from when we were our younger selves.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get into more, we could talk forever. And I just looked at the time. I'm like, oh crap. Okay. We got more to talk about. I want to talk about some of your clients and then how people can tap into the resources that you have. So first of all, I want to get into online courses.
Yeah.
But before we do, are your clients typically just there in Arkansas, or is it like a 50-50 split? You do virtual and local.
So as a therapist, I have my license only stays inside of Arkansas. Okay. But I also offer coaching virtually. And so one of the things that we're starting up, which I'm super duper pumped about, is I'm going to be doing these virtual coaching groups. And so I'm going to do, basically, it's psychoeducation, where we're going to get a specific topic. We're going to have a group over like 5 weeks that meets for an hour every week where I teach you about that topic. One of the things that I'm really good at that I didn't know that I was really good at, that I'm like, you know, hair flip, is creating workbooks. I love creating workbooks. And so I've created a couple for my online courses, but I do it for all my groups too. And so when people join these virtual groups, group coaching sessions, they will be in the company with other women that are going through a specific thing. And whether that be self-esteem, problems, body issues, XYZ. And the goal is not necessarily to dive in super deep in those groups, like through sharing, but for me to just like teach and then for them to use their journals in their own individual therapy sessions. And so like my whole goal in doing everything is like, how can I provide you with the resources that you need to take to your therapist and say like, hey, I really need to work on this. And I connect with therapists all over the U.S. And so I have been really, really grateful to know like a handful of therapists all over the U.S. that like I would refer to in a split second, you know, and be able to help people in all locations that have like, you know, the same kind of style that I do. But I'm going to be offering those virtual coaching groups, which are very, very exciting, and have those workbooks that are coming up as well as my online courses.
Do you have a timeline on that? Like when you will have those available?
So my first online course, I just got done talking to my marketing person, and that is going to start, or not my online course, sorry, my virtual group session is going to start on June the 7th, and it's going to run for 5 weeks, and people can hop on. It's $199 for 5 weeks, which I keep my costs for these things very, very low, because what I want to do is make mental health accessible for people that they are not like, oh man, I have to reach out to this sketchy telehealth company or something like that. Yeah, or I feel like I'm, you know, people who are stuck in like these rural areas that don't have a lot of resources, I want to make it accessible. People that don't have insurance, I want to make it accessible. And so knowing that my trauma specifically had to do with inaccessibility, mm-hmm. that's what I'm trying to dissolve moving forward, is making these like psychoeducational groups so that way people can learn things. So I'll have that first one starting on June the 7th, and it'll run for 5 weeks on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 Central Time and PM, not AM, because you don't want to have Becca as a therapist at 6 AM. It does not work out really well. But Becca as a therapist at 6 PM works out okay. But yeah, so I'll have that starting up soon. And my hope is to have, you know, run enough groups to where I'm having, you know, maybe 3 or 4 a week, and I'm running them new ones like every other month or something of that nature that people can hop into, because teaching is my true passion. And once I get one down and I'm like, oh wow, the Rise and Thrive group worked really, really well, I'm going to go ahead and do that one again. Then I'm like, this is just moving and cooking and we are going. And so, that's what we're going to be working on.
So how intimate will these groups be? Are you going to cap it at a certain number of people, or what does that look like?
Yeah. So I'm going to cap it at 12 people. So that way we're not lost in a crowd and people are like, oh, I'm going to turn off my camera. Right. No, right. Don't do that. I want to see pretty faces. I can't just talk to names. Becca does well with interaction. And so, yeah, I'm going to cap it at 12 people for each group. And so it's going to go fast. I know it's going to go fast because having that accessibility is really important. And I'm going to be doing it at all times during the day. So after I get this first group out of the way, then we're going to start advertising more on my website and building up the different groups. So one of the things that I'm going to be working on this summer is building curriculum like nobody's business. And so I might even do groups based on the online courses that I have if people want to dive deeper into it and kind of go from there.
Nice. So there. So if I'm hearing you right, you join these groups. There's about 12 people in there. And then will there be accountability groups within there where like everybody's kind of sharing information, maybe like a Facebook group, or how's that going to go?
Oh, yeah. You're like, you're 10 steps ahead of me. Like, I'm going to need you to calm down over here. Go lock up your bike real quick. Okay. But yeah, so after when they're in the group, they'll be like in like a little private Facebook group for just the 12 of them where they can share their ideas and all that kind of stuff. And then after that, they'll be moved to the larger Facebook group that'll be only for people who have taken the courses and or have done the groups. And it will be called the Shenanigan Squad because nice. I am full of shenanigans. You don't want to mess with me. Once they get into the Shenanigan Squad, then that will be a group that they're in for forever since they've done it, participated in one of the groups, and they can say like, hey, I'm having a really bad day, looking for some advice, looking on something I can do here. And my goal is really to just to have a place for women to feel empowered. As of right now, I'm specifically working with women.
Understand.
Well, as you can see, Siri Alexis, does not understand. Yeah, Siri doesn't understand, but everybody else does. You're welcome for that. But yeah, so they'll be put in some like accountability groups so that way they can bounce ideas. I never want women to feel alone. And I think that's one of the things that I noticed, especially the last summer when Roe v. Wade got overturned. That was something that I had a lot of clients really struggling to dissect on both sides of the coin, right? And so we have people that are like, this is what I believe. I don't know who I can talk to because I don't know if other women agree with me and I don't know where to find community. And I have to get rid of everybody in my life that doesn't believe the same thing as me. And then they're like, overstimulated anxiety. And so I really want to create a space where people can share what they're struggling with and other women know, like, I may not support their beliefs, but I support their values of why they chose that belief. And I can challenge that, or I can, you know, go from there. We're about creating a respectful space where everyone can share what they're going through. I was taught to believe this when I was a kid. Why do I believe this? From I now believe this, but I didn't used to, and now I do, and now I don't know what to do, and now I'm struggling with the dynamic, and where's the difference, and XYZ. So all of these groups are just going to be way too much fun.
I'm super excited for it. And you know what I love about what you do is I can tell, I mean, I've only been talking to you for what, 30, 40 minutes here, but I can tell that you bring the lighter side to trauma, if that makes sense. Like you, not that we're poo-pooing trauma and we're not saying it's not difficult, but I love that you bring a little humor to it, definitely your vulnerability and just a little sunshine to the subject. So I can see why people will love your programs and do. I'm sure. Yeah. And then also this new rollout that you got coming on June.
Yeah.
7th.
Oh, yeah.
January months.
You know, January, July, June, whatever. You just go for it. But here's the thing is that I think that the shame that we feel from our trauma is so real and so raw. And one of the things that, you know, hearing my mother being so ashamed of what I went through when I was younger, pained me so much, because I was just like, I don't want her to feel the pain that I feel from this, you know? I do try to bring humor to some of the experiences that I've had, because I understand that no one just wants to have a conversation where it's like, hey, by the way, I was molested when I was 10, and this is da 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 da. No one really knows how to react to those conversations. So I always, you know, go forth and I just say, it's less about the experience that we went through, and it's more about why we're healing from it. So in my values-based method that I work in, the question that I always bring up, or the statement that I always bring up, is we're not always going to know why it happened. I cannot tell you why my youth minister chose me. I can't. My trauma brain tells me it's because I was annoying, because I was convenient, because my mom was the accountant at our church, and he was stealing money from the church. So it's like, I was probably really convenient, but why he chose to do it, even when I was in my 20s, why he felt the need to continue with that gaslighting and emotional abuse, I'm never going to know why he won't take responsibility for what he did. And I will never understand why another church decided to hire him. I'm never going to understand why he's still a youth minister. However, I can understand why I want to heal from it. And I want to heal from it because that's what I need. Right. I need to be able to move forward. And I need to be able to provide a life for me and my husband and our cats, and maybe a future heathen one day, if I decide to be brave enough to embark on that journey. If he could get pregnant, this would be so much easier. But, you know, Adam and Eve bullshit that goes around. And so it's like, I want to create a better life for my family, to where I have allowed my youth minister to have so much rent-free space in my head my whole life. And he doesn't deserve that anymore. Right. And I deserve to have my own individual relationship with whatever I choose to believe, without feeling guilt and shame for all the things that I didn't do right growing up, or how I didn't believe correctly, or something of that nature, or how I didn't go on mission trips, or how I didn't get involved in this particular event. And I think that's really what it came down to, was how much can I get involved in so that way God loves me more? And at no point in time is that really how it works, right? And so I just remove that equation. I remove church from the equation now, and I feel like I live a much better life because of it. I know that there's a lot of people in my life that still attend church and have amazing experiences. Good for you. Glad that you have that community. Glad that it works out for you. Super excited about that. But you probably won't see me walking foot in a church until I baptize my little heathen. And then after that, I'm good to go. Okay. And we're going to be vetting that preacher beforehand. I mean, vetting the heck out of that preacher. Like, what you going to be touching? What you going to be doing? How are you going to be doing it? Okay. yeah. Where is it? Is the water dripping, or is the water being touched? I ain't about that. Are you doing dunking? Are you drowning? I ain't about that life. So I think that that's a big part of it, is understanding why you want to heal from something so you can move forward.
I love that. Thank you. I want to really quickly, because we're running out of time, I want to talk about, how can people find you? One, social media, website, online courses, the whole nine. If somebody's listening to this and this resonates with them and they're like, okay, yeah, I want to get in on that June 7th deal, or I just want to, you know, follow what Becca's doing, what are those details?
Yeah. So check me out at Becca Ferguson, LPC, as in licensed professional counselor.com. And you can go on my website, which I have the most amazing marketing professional in the whole entire universe that like made my website look amazing. So I would definitely 100% like go check that out. All my online courses are on there. I have 4 mini courses that are $27 each, but because I love this podcast so much with a burning passion inside of my soul, and I love to hashtag share the movement, I'm giving y'all a good old 10% off, which I know like 10% off is like what, like $2, but come on now, $2, that's $2. That's like a half a gallon of gas over here. Okay. So, I mean, like I'm going to give you guys 10% off of all my online courses, those 4 mini courses, which are the Wise Mind, self-care versus self-comfort, which is my absolute favorite. I have one on SMART goals and I have one on the window of tolerance. And the window of tolerance is actually all about trauma healing. And then I have a $99 anger management course that you can take to a judge who says that you have anger management problems. And you can be like, look, I did this online thing with a certificate. And then the judge can be like, wow, you completed anger management. Congratulations. Nice. So I have those courses available. I'm on the Book of Faces. I have some followers on there. I have all sorts of shenanigans on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, but I ain't even lying to y'all. Like, I suck at it. I really do. I suck at social media so, so much. I try and post stuff all day long, but like, I'm horrible at it. So that's why I hire people to post shit for me. So if you're like, that doesn't look like Becca, it's because it isn't, but I'm trying. We're working on it. But I'm on all the socials. I try and post on TikTok every once in a minute. I'm usually having a bad hair day when I do. but I got that going. And yeah, coming in August, my husband and I, which I'm really excited, are going to be starting a podcast where...
Awesome.
Yes. People are going to be able to ask me any questions that they want to know about therapy, life, whatever it's called. Ask Becca. I'm going to give you my advice and then my husband's going to give you his, and he is not a therapist. So it's going to be really fun. We're going to banter off of each other and it's going to be a good thing. Sometimes I think he gives better advice than I do. So we'll have to decide.
What's the name of the show going to be?
It's going to be called Ask Becca.
Oh, so, Ask Becca. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It might be Ask Becca and Casey. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out if he gets his name in it or not. We'll figure it out. But
I love it. Very, very cool. So as far as finding you on Facebook and Instagram, just look up Becca Ferguson and you should come up.
Yeah, Becca Ferguson LPC or at Becca Ferguson LPC. I'm on the Twitter. But I've only posted one thing on the Twitter because I, again, suck at it. So
I've never used Twitter in my life.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, I think I did. My handle back in middle school was Feet Funeral. Like, what I thinking? Like, why was I so obsessed with feet and funerals? Like, that is no, like,
that's funny.
Don't look that up. It's embarrassing. I was gothic. Okay, so don't look.
Well, you put it out there now.
I know. So no, I'm damn it. We're gonna have to edit this. We're gonna have to edit this out. Oh my gosh. So yeah.
Okay. Anyways. 2 more things I want to ask you before we get into 20 questions. My first question is, what do you know for sure?
What do I know for sure? Okay. Super easy. And this goes back to why I'm speaking loud in the first place. I know for sure that everyone has an ability to work through their trauma. You have to ask yourself, what do you need? And know that you are allowed to ask what you need. At no point in time should anybody ever in a million years be telling you that you're not allowed to do that. If they do, say, bye, Felicia, out of here. Okay. bonus points if they're actually named Felicia. But I mean, like, I definitely want you guys to know for sure you can work through your trauma. You can understand that there is a path through it. It's not always a light at the end of the tunnel. It really isn't. Sometimes it's getting out of the tunnel and realizing that there is a whole entire city above you that you get to walk through. You don't have to keep going through a dark tunnel. You can go up the subway stairs and walk through the town and get to the same destination. And you're not just like, darkness surrounds me. Okay. So yes, I know for sure that everyone has the ability to work through the trauma.
What makes you feel the most empowered?
Oof. Okay. What makes me feel empowered? Naps. Honestly, naps do. I can take a bomb ass nap on a Saturday and I'm just like raring ready to go. I got to take NyQuil at night to counteract it. But, you know, naps. Rest is so important. And this is why I say my self-care versus self-comfort course is my favorite, because make sure that you are doing enough things to counteract all the things that you're doing to learn about how to better yourself. If you're listening to this podcast and then you're applying the things that I'm teaching you, or any podcast, any group, any course, anything is teaching you, and you're just like, work, 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 take a freaking nap, or go get your nails done, or go get your hair did, or go buy a new outfit, or go get a tattoo. You have to do something that's comforting for you. Don't just think that the only way that you can get through your trauma is by working. You can get through your trauma by resting as well. So naps empower the hell out of me, man. They do.
I feel too groggy after a nap. I tried a nap and then I think I just sleep too deep. So when I wake up, I'm just like I'm going to get my lashes done today. And I don't know if you've ever had your lashes done, but you got to sit there for 90 minutes with your eyes closed. She's like, I think she just doesn't want me to talk to her maybe, but she's like, you can close your eyes and go to sleep. Well, I'm already closing my eyes, but I'm like, I can't, because when I wake up, I'm too groggy.
My biggest fear is that I would lay there, fall asleep, and then like fart in my sleep. Like that would be like my biggest fear, because like I'm pretty sure that's how I first farted in front of my husband for the first time, was like laying in the bed and like I tooted in my sleep, because all of a sudden I just fell in the bed like, what's going on? You know?
Shoot.
So yeah. I was like, apparently it was a stinky one too. So
oh,
you know.
But
I don't know, man. Naps are different from everyone. Find another self-care thing that you can do that empowers you. I'm all about it.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's go into 20 questions, if you will. Choose a number between 1 and 20.
Let's go with 13.
If you could only eat one food again for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, stop it. Oh, man. Okay, so my husband makes this poppy seed chicken without the poppy seeds. Don't know why we never included the poppy seeds. I think it's because we were too poor to go buy them at the time. Dude, I'm making some poppy seed chicken tonight. Watch me go.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, it's like got that Ritz crackers, that butter drizzle, you know, that thing that makes you all jiggly and Santa Claus on the inside. That's what I'm about it. I'm about it right there. Some poppy seed chicken without the poppy seeds.
I love it. I love food myself. So I'm going to have to check that out sometime. Check out a poppy seed chicken recipe.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the graphic for this podcast. I'll give you the recipes. So.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming on the show. You're kind of a spirit animal or something of mine. Like you and I mean, the conversation just flowed. Time went by so fast. And I love what you're doing for other people, being such a lighthouse for others, and the programs and the courses and the teachings that you're doing for others out there. So keep doing it. Keep spreading your light, shining your light. And you guys, if this episode resonated with you at all, like it. This is a labor of love for both of us. Becca and I are just spending an hour doing this because we love you guys. We want to see people heal and thrive. So, do me a favor, just give a little like or share this with somebody. Like maybe something we said today on the podcast not only resonated with you, but somebody popped up into your mind of, hey, I think this person would really benefit from listening to this conversation. Do it, do it, do it, please. That's what this is all about. It's about speaking loud, sharing the movement, and just getting out there and doing what you can to get through the bullshit. So thank you.
Get through that bullshit and understand you can get through it. You can't get over it. You can't get around it. You can't get under it, but you can get through it.
Every day is another chance to turn it all around. And as always, you guys, you are worthy. You are enough. And keep on shining your light. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Speak Loud. If this message resonated with you, please feel free to share it with anyone you feel could use the support. To find out more information about SHARE, our movement, and to join the cause, please visit sharethemovement.org. Until next time.